If you'd like to read along with me this morning, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 12 down through verse 19. It's a means of introduction of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in 12 down through verse 19. We're thankful for the presence, as we always are every Sunday, for the presence of each and every one of you that we have in some instances overcome some health problems that we're able to be here to enjoy this time that we have together in praise and in worship unto God. And we hope that as we spend this time together, that we'll be benefited, that we will be edified by the things that are said and done here this morning. If you're a visitor, we're indeed grateful for your presence and hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. If you live in the community, then we want to all get to know everybody who's a visitor, but especially if you live in the community, we're thankful for your presence. One announcement that I have in the very beginning here this morning is, you've noticed in the bulletin, there in the back, Diane Chichula, who has been attending for a number of weeks, has a desire to place membership here with us. We are glad to have her and her three children, and I'll get the names mixed up, but I think it's Laurie, John, and Carrie. We'll get to know her more as the time goes on. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, down through verse 19, we find some things here that God hates, six to seven things that he hates. But he begins in verse 12 by saying, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually, he sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. We see that if these seven things that God hates here, two of them have to deal with lying. He says there, he hates a lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies. And that's what we want to talk about just a little bit this morning. And when we think about lying, when we think about lies, usually the writer in the Bible that will not come to mind is that of John. John, when we think of him, we think of the individual that Jesus loved. We think of love because he wrote a great deal about that. He wrote about truth and he wrote about the light and walking in the light. And he talked about those kind of things. And when we think of John, we probably think of that individual who is a writer of the love of God. But this was not always the case with John. It seems to be that there was a transformation that took place in his life, because early in our encounters with John, we find in such places as Mark 3 and verse 17 that he and his brother were called the sons of thunder. They wanted to call fire down from heaven to consume a Samaritan village. And so they didn't demonstrate very much love in their life, we might say, in the very beginning. But John loved, or learned to love, as what he was taught by Christ. We look and we find concerning what John had to say about the love of God for man. One of those passages that perhaps everybody can quote from the New Testament is John 3 and verse 16, where it talks about the love of God that he had for the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. But John also speaks about the love that man has for God. In John 15 and verse 14, he records there the words of Christ where he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here is how man expresses his love for God in the key that he keeps the commands of God. He also talks about the love of man toward his fellow man. Once again, Christ is speaking, and in John 13 and verse 35, he says, by this all men will know you, that you are my disciples, in that you love one another. That's the first thing that we think about when we begin to think about this particular writer of the New Testament books. But John often speaks of those individuals who are guilty of lying. Lying, I guess we might say, is the opposite of that which is truth. And John wrote a great deal about truth. And so it would be only natural, I believe, that as he writes of light and darkness, that he would also write of the truth and error or lies that men speak. One of the things that we truly note in the Word of God is his hatred for lies. That dishonesty, or that basic dishonesty that is found in an individual's character, that speaks concerning that person, not only in the words that he has to say, but it says something more and something deeper about that person who will lie. As we read in Proverbs chapter 6, one of the things that God hates is a lying tongue. And he hates a false witness who speaks lies. Even over the New Testament, we find several places where these things are spoken of. Paul, in writing to the saints at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, says this particular thing, "Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Since the old man has been done away with, since he is dead and you're separated from him, then don't let this kind of lying that is a part of the old man be a part of your new life. God hates lies. God hates lying. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, we find there, as Christ is speaking to the Jews, that he talks about Satan. And Satan is a slanderer. It says there that he is the father of lies. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, we find there, as the writer of the book of Revelation, John, says that all liars will have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And we see how God deals with lies in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. How that they had told an untruth. They had lied to the Holy Spirit concerning what they had gained from a field that they were giving to the apostles. And as a result of that, God struck them dead. John has a lot to say about liars. And this morning we want to note several of the things that he points out about saying concerning individuals who are liars. And John does not call people by name when he calls them a liar. But what he does, he tells something about that individual, what they are claiming, and what they're claiming is a lie. And one of the things that he points out in the very beginning concerning those in the Bible who are liars is in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. Here's the first individual that he points out. We find a person here who claims that he is having fellowship with God, but in reality they are walking in darkness. In verse 6 he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." The only way that we can have fellowship with the God in heaven is to walk in the light. That is, walk according to his precepts. God is light. And if we're ever going to have fellowship with him, we must be in that light with him, because he's not going to come into the darkness with us. And if we claim that we have fellowship with him, then we've got to walk in the light. Notice what he says in verse 5 and also verse 7, preceding and after verse 6. He says, "This is the message which we have heard from God and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God is truth. That's what he's saying. There's no error. There's no lie in God. He does not walk in darkness. He is the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it says in verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. God is light. And if we are going to have fellowship with him, then we've got to be in that truth. We've got to be in that way that has been declared by him through his Son. John claims then that a man is a liar if he only gives lip service unto God. And I believe that's what he's saying here. to that individual who only gives lip service to God, who's only going through the motions, that person is a liar in the sight of God. He proves himself to be a liar by the life that he lives. His actions, his deeds, if not also his words, will bear witness to the fact that he is lying, that he does not have fellowship with God, no matter how the claims might be that he would want to profess, no matter how much he wants to say that he is in fellowship with God, his deeds will declare that he's walking in darkness, and as a result, he will be a liar. This is something that Christ was pointing out to the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 15, and verses 7 and 8, he quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah concerning what the children of Israel were doing in the days of Isaiah, and also what they were doing in his days, that is, the days of Christ. And he quotes here, as he calls them hypocrites, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He is saying these people were living a lie. They were saying one thing, but in reality their life was betraying something different. They were not walking in light. They were truly walking in darkness. And he calls them hypocrites. And that's just simply another word for a liar, an individual who presents two faces to the world. And you know, people today are not any different than they used to be. They're not any different in the days now than they were in the times of Christ, 700 years before that in the time of Isaiah. People are still wanting to claim that they walk in the light, but they're really in the darkness. People are that way. They're no different. They claim that they love the Lord. There are those who will do that. They'll claim that they have an undying devotion for God, that they love Him so very much. Yet we find in their own life and by their actions that they might decide with every opportunity that comes along that they're not going to go with those saints to worship God. They're not going to be there. They claim they love Him. They claim they have this devotion unto Him, that they're walking in the light, and yet every opportunity that comes along for them to not go, to not be where God is honored and God is served and worshiped, they'll stay away from that. These individuals are presenting two faces. They're saying one thing, and they're doing something else. They're much like the people were in the days of Malachi, as we had been studying on Wednesday night, just this past week. They claimed that they had God as their father. And God truly was their father. He had chosen Israel. The problem was, as God was confronting them with their situation, He says, "If I'm your father and I am your Lord, where is my fear? Where is my reverence? You make this claim. You want me to be your father, to be your Lord, but you're not fearing me. You're not reverencing me. You're showing two faces." The people in the day of Malachi were these liars that John is speaking concerning here, that they claimed to have fellowship with God, but truly they were walking in darkness. Why is this man a liar? Why is this individual a liar, as John has called him here? Well, he contradicts himself. That's why he is a liar. He professes two things. One, with his tongue, he professes that he loves God, that he has fellowship with Him, but his actions profess something else. They speak much louder than his words. We might draw an example here of a man who professes, or a woman it might be, professes that they love football, that this is something that is an undying devotion that they have, that they love football, they love to sit down and watch the television or go to a game, and they're there and they love to see these things going on the football field. And yet, in questioning them, we might find out that, you know, they don't know a first down from a touchdown. Their actions, their knowledge would betray them, wouldn't it? They would make this claim that they loved it, but they knew absolutely nothing about it. An individual might claim that they love baseball, and yet, in asking them concerning the rules of the game, they might not know a fastball from a foul ball. They won't know the difference. They profess one thing, but their knowledge and their actions tell something else. This is true in the spiritual realm also. There are many who profess that they love the Lord, that they have an undying devotion unto Him. Yet in many instances, they can't distinguish the Lord's day from any other day in the week, because they don't do any difference on the first day than they do any other time during the week. Yet they claim they have a love. They claim they're walking in the light and having fellowship with God. John is saying that person is a liar. That's what God has to say about this individual. He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. There are those who profess an undying love for God, and in some instances, they can't tell the true church from a denomination out here. One that has been started by man from the true one that had its foundation in the words of Jesus Christ. They don't know the difference. Again, they claim one thing, but they live something else. There are those who claim to be one thing on the first day of the week and live quite another during the week. These individuals are liars. By the things that they do, they profess that they are liars, and they're walking in darkness by commission and by omission, by committing things that are wrong and by omitting to doing things that they ought to be doing. And they obey God's command sometimes on the first day of the week, but they refuse to do it at any other time. And I'm sure you've seen example after example, maybe in your own life, of an individual who makes the claim that he's a follower of Christ and he is with the saints on the first day of the week and he is praising God with his tongue in songs, praising Him. And with that same tongue on the next day of the week, he's using profanity. That person is living a lie. That person claims one thing. Claims that he has fellowship with God, but he's walking in darkness. And God says that person is a liar. John also points out another individual there in the second chapter in verse 4. And he uses this again. That individual claims to know God but doesn't obey his commands. He who says, I know him, and does not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So John mentions another individual. He says, I know God. God knows me. We have this close relationship, and we have fellowship one with another. But he is saying that you don't keep the commandments, and therefore you are a liar. There are those individuals who claim to be God's children, but they won't listen to him. They won't listen to the things that he has to say. They won't commit themselves unto his commandments. And John, by inspiration, says that person is a liar. And what are you doing when you call an individual a liar? Well, you're attacking the character of that person. You're saying that the words that person spoken, that's only a symptom of a much deeper problem that they have. That basically they're a dishonest individual. And that's what God is saying about these people. There's something basically dishonest about this person, who makes claims that he's a child of God but won't listen to God. Some of the commands of God that we find are that of baptism. Baptism is a command that is given by God, but yet we notice how so many people in the religious world treat the commandment of baptism. It cannot be doubted that God wants individuals to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Cannot be doubted that. Acts 2 and verse 38 points this out. Those on the day of Pentecost, those that became the church there in the very beginning, were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. That's what they did. Christ gave the commission unto his disciples before he went back into heaven to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There can be no doubt concerning God's command, concerning what God has said. Yet we find people in the religious world claiming to follow God who won't listen to him in this matter. They won't listen to him concerning baptism. How many churches in this country today and around this world today claim that baptism is not essential to the remission of their sins? I'm sure you could count maybe into the hundreds that teach that it is not essential. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Now, what's the truth on the matter? The truth on the matter is what God has said. We must follow what God has said. If we want to have fellowship with him, if we want to say that he knows us and we know him, then we've got to listen to the things that he has to say. Not only baptism, but there are other things, such as singing and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We're told to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Colossians 3 and 16, Ephesians 5 and 19. When I fail to do that, when I fail to sing praises unto God, when he has told me that I must, and then I turn around and claim that I know God and that he knows me, what is the end result? John says that person's a liar. That's the end result in that individual's life. He is a liar. He will not listen to God, although he knows what God has said. We are to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, as the disciples did in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 points out that they came together to do that. In Acts 20 and verse 7, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. There are commands given by God, and if I claim that I know God and that he knows me, I better listen to what he says and I better do that. If I make the claim that he knows me and I know him and I don't do what he says, I'm a liar. Again, that's what John has said. Read again with me, 1 John 2 and verse 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. God hates lies. Those are one of the things that he cannot stand. They're an abomination in his sight. God's word also says, in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, says there that he who will not listen to the words of the Lord, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Again, this individual is a liar, and that's what God calls him. That's what God says concerning this individual. And how many people in this world make that claim, I know God? And if they don't listen to him and they don't do what he says and follow his commandments, God says you're a liar. The third thing that John points out is that an individual who denies that Jesus is the Christ, that person is a liar. In the second chapter, as we continue on reading in verses 22 and 23, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now we can read through the gospel accounts, and there's absolutely no doubt Jesus claimed that he was the Christ. He said, I am the one that's the anointed one. I am the Son of David. I am the one that was prophesied of in the Old Testament. Christ made that claim. Now, that individual who says that Jesus is not the Christ, either Christ is a liar or man is a liar. And what John has to say here is that man is a liar. How does a person deny Jesus Christ? Well, certainly it can be by the tongue. An individual can say that Jesus is not the Christ. We have many religions in this world that do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. There are those that follow strictly the Jewish religion, and they are still looking for the Christ. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. There are Eastern religions that might look at Jesus as being a good, honest man and a great teacher, but he's not the Christ. And they deny with their tongue that Jesus is the Christ. What God has said is that person is a liar, because God himself sent evidence that he was the Christ. But it's not only by our tongue that we can deny Jesus as the Christ. We can do it by the lives that we live. By our actions, we can deny him this lordship, this kingship that God has bestowed upon him. The Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 were called hypocrites by Christ because they were taking the word of God and doing whatever they wanted to it. And they were making their own traditions greater than the law that God had given. They were liars in this way. And they were denying that Jesus was the Christ. They were looking at these prophecies of the Old Testament, and they were saying, well, he doesn't fit those. They were trying to apply it to someone else and to some other time in their history. They were denying him not only by their words, but also by their life and the things that they did. That they taught the word of God, Christ said here in the beginning of chapter 23, that they taught the word of God correctly, but they didn't live it. They didn't live it right. They bound those things on others, but they themselves would not do it. Christ means the Messiah. It means the anointed one, the one who is the Savior, and that's what Jesus Christ is. And if we are going to please God, we've got to believe in his Son, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the one anointed by God to bring about the salvation, salvation of mankind, that he is the culmination of the plan of God to redeem man. John 8:24, he says there, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Hebrews 11:6 talks about how without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. We've got to have faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. We must believe all of those things that he has commanded. He said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I ask? We find then we must accept him and believe him as the Christ, as the Messiah. And that the man who denies that he is the Christ, God says he is a liar. By his words or by his actions, that individual that rejects the saviorship of Jesus as the Christ, he is a liar. An individual, when they are faced with the truth and they deny that truth, then that person is a liar. And that's what John is saying by inspiration here. That person who is faced with this truth, with this evidence, with all of these witnesses that bear the facts out that Jesus is the Christ, in all of this evidence they reject it. That person is a liar. That person, because they believe a lie, eventually will live and speak that lie in their life. John also continues to talk about that person that is a liar in the fourth chapter, in verses 20 and 21. We find that for these other things, these other three things that he points out, we might be considering other individuals. But John begins to hit home here with us in this particular one. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. He says that person who makes the claim, I love God, but then he turns around and he hates his brother, says that person's a liar. It's a spiritual impossibility for us to make that claim that I love God and yet we hate our brother. We hate anyone. We hate that individual who is in Christ or out of Christ. We cannot do that. This is what Christ, this is what John, by inspiration, is saying here. Whenever a person claims to be a child of God, and then they fail to have genuine, benevolent feelings toward his brother, that person is a liar. We must love as Jesus Christ loved. And in John chapter 13 and verse 34, again, John writing about love, as we would think of him as being the writer concerning that subject, Christ says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's how we are to love, in the same way that Christ loved. As we see in his life, the manifestation of that great love that God had for man and that Christ had for man, we are to try to imitate that in our own life. And that's why John, then, by inspiration, can say, if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. Because you just cannot do that and be pleasing in the sight of God. How is it that God and that Christ loved the world? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 expresses it better than perhaps any way that could be expressed. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God loves. That's how Jesus Christ, whom we are to imitate, that's how he loves. That's the way we also are to love one another. We can't love God and hate our brother and be pleasing in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 7 speaks concerning this subject. Paul talks about it. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the kind of love that we must possess. Some people view the commandments of God, some of those things that are given, as commandments that are optional. And they kind of look at love as being an optional command. Or as, at least anyway, I can choose to whomever I want to love. That's not the case. Love is commanded of each one of us. And it's not something that is optional. We must love all people. We must show that love in seeking their well-being. There are some things about people that I may not like. There are some ways that they have that I might not necessarily get along with, but I can't allow hatred to enter into my heart for that individual. I must have their best interest at heart. And that's really what love is to have their best interest at heart. And if I fail to love another individual, then I believe what John is saying here is I'm failing to love God. It's just that simple. If I hate my brother, I can't love God. And he is saying then, your life is a lie. What you're doing is a lie, and you are a liar. And you cannot be pleasing in the sight of God. There's one other thing in the Bible that is pointed out that we need to talk about here, about that individual who is a liar. It's not expressed in John. It's expressed in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. And it's that individual who adds to or alters the word of God in any way. We find that the proverb says in the 30th chapter and verse 6 that that individual is going to be found out to be a liar. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Throughout the word of God, there are admonitions that are given over and over again that we need to leave the word of God alone. Leave it as it is. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 points out concerning the law of Moses, they were not to go to the right, they were not to go to the left, they were not to deviate any at all from what God had said unto them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, we're told not to think of man above that which has been written. This is God's inspired word. Don't add to it. Don't go beyond the teachings of Christ. John says in 2 John verse 9, we are to add nothing to and we are to take nothing away from the word of God. When we strive to alter it at all, then we are going to be found to be liars. That's what the word of God has to say on the matter. We're going to be found to be liars. Adding to God's word makes us liars. Because one of the things that we recognize throughout the entire Bible is that we must have authority for the things that we do. Over and over again, this is pointed out to us. Colossians 3 and 17, everything that we do in word or deed, that it should be done in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. We are to do the commandments of God. Christ has all authority. When we begin to add to and take away from, we begin to get into those realms of where we have no business whatsoever. We have heard our own brethren in times past make the statement that, well, we don't have to have authority for everything that we do in our worship and work unto God. If we don't have authority, then we're going to be found to be liars, because we have to have it established upon the word of God. If there is an individual who claims to have the power and the right to change or alter God's word, and yet he can't prove it from the scripture, that individual is a liar. If one claims that he has been given the authority to make those changes, that person is a liar. And that's what God's word has to say on the matter. Now, we can look out in the religious world and we can find, you know, almost an uncountable number of practices that people have, that people offer their worship unto God for which they have no authority at all. And in very simple terms, what God has said is that person is going to be found a liar before God because he doesn't have the right to change or to alter what God has said. When we begin to tamper with the word of God, this word that has been given unto us that is perfect, that will make us complete, that will furnish us thoroughly unto every good work, when we begin to alter that, when we begin to change that, then God says you're going to be found a liar. You're basically dishonest. We want to be pleasing in the sight of God. To be called a liar is a very serious matter, isn't it? You wouldn't want anybody to call you one, would you? You want to be thought of basically as being an honest person, that you would tell the truth regardless of the situation, regardless of the consequences that might come to you. That shows integrity on a person's part. That a person would tell the truth even to their own harm. But that shows also that they love the truth. And to call someone a liar is a serious matter. You call somebody a liar, he's ready sometimes just to fight you. Right then and right there, because of what you have said. It's a serious matter. But God has said there are certain people who are like that. He's pointed these individuals out. And he took the writer of love, as we think of him, to talk about those matters. Talking about truth and error. talking about a lie and that which is the truth. And John points these out. And we must remember what is stated in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, that all liars will have their part in that place that burns with fire and brimstone. We need to be truthful and we need to be honest all the days of our life. For God hates lies. We cannot please Him if we fall into that category. We need to examine our own life and to see if perhaps there are those areas in which we're not being honest and make those changes. Be truthful. Be honest. If you're here this morning, why don't you be truthful and honest and simply obey the commandments of the Lord? This is all that He asks you to do. This is all He wants you to do. Simply obey the truth that has been given in His Word. Won't you obey Him this morning? You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to be added to the family of God and enjoy those spiritual blessings found in Jesus Christ. Why put it off? Why offer an excuse? Why tell a lie? Because there's really nothing that should stop you from obedience unto Christ this morning. If you're here and subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand in that sanctuary?